Okay, let's come to God's Word this morning. Chris, is this on? Okay. And the topic today is supposed to be on love and marriage. You know, when you go to a party, there are always two kinds of people there. Have you noticed? One kind that says, I want to go home as soon as possible. And there's another kind that says, I want to be the last to leave. Have you noticed that? And usually they are married to one another. Okay? And that's what happens. And, you know, some people experience heaven on earth. They call it marriage. Other people experience hell on earth. They call it marriage. So how can these two different things be the same? And so today, this morning, we're going to quickly go through the Bible. And in this half an hour, we can't cover everything on marriage, but we can cover some things, okay? And you're going to remember these things that I'm going to talk about from the Bible on marriage very simply by a word, okay? And the word is called oops. Turn to somebody and say, oops. Oops, very simple to learn. Oops, all right? So what is marriage? What does it mean? Oops. Okay. The first thing is, the first O in the oops is origin. Okay. And it's origin. Now, where did this idea of marriage come about? Okay, was it man's idea? Did some man suddenly decide, let's get married, let's do something? No. I want to tell you, marriage is precious because it is not man's idea, but it was conceived in the mind of God. Okay, so it was God's idea. God laid down a plan and a pattern for a marriage that would be wonderful. Now, many of us are already married. Okay, so we can learn something from it. There are many others who are not yet married. And for those who are not yet married, I want you to pay particular attention to the first parts of what I'm sharing. Okay? So the origin of marriage. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. God had created a beautiful universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, amazing creatures of all kinds. He had created beautiful flora and fauna, trees, fruits, birds, everything was beautiful, and God said, he looked at everything and said, and it is good. But in verse 20 onwards, it says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Okay? Adam named all the animals, but there was something lacking in Adam's life. Now, a couple of points I want to bring out here. Number one is this. You and I, the Bible says, were created in the image of God. We are very different from animals, birds, and vegetables. I hope you realize that. Okay? But we've been created in the image of God. And what's the difference? Okay? One of the differences is this. We've been created for relationship. Turn to somebody and say, relationship. Okay? You see, Adam was in a perfect place. Perfect. I was reading the other day, it says the temperature must have been perfect because he was naked and he didn't feel hot and cold. Yeah, perfect temperature, you know, and everything is perfect. But because he was created in the image of God, now think about it. Even him being alone with God was not enough. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, you know, in today's day and age, people have developed great attachments to their pets. Have you noticed that? They treat a pet as a member of the family. Sometimes they are even more precious than the rest of the family. Okay? But in God's understanding of things, no pet, no animal can replace a relationship with another human being. Okay? And so that's why there was no suitable helper for Adam. So what did God do? God remedied the situation. Verse 21, he caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. That was the first anesthesia. And as he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs or the side and closed up the place with flesh. That's the first surgery. And then the Lord made a woman out of man and he brought her to the man. Okay? So the origin of marriage is in God. It's not man's idea. So when we come against marriage, we're coming against what God has proposed. Now, for those who are not yet married, the Bible says, we see here that God brought the woman to man, okay? But can you marry anybody? Can you marry anybody? No. Okay, who can we marry? Number one is, first of all, it's clear from here that you can marry only somebody of the opposite gender. Okay, so if you're a man, you got to look out for a woman. If you're a woman, you got to look out for a man. And that is very clear from Scripture. Okay? Now, secondly, it's not just gender. God's plan is for us to marry another believer, another person who has the same belief and value system as you have. So, ladies, although there are millions of men on this earth, you're restricted to those who have put their faith in Jesus. Now, I want to underline this. I want to highlight it. I want you to mark it, okay? And to say that don't marry somebody who's not of the same faith as you are, okay? Scriptural backing, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or fellowship, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Okay? Now, I've been, Nawaz and I have been leading the church many years, and I tell you, we will tell you horror story after horror story where people have married against this command and are suffering the rest of their lives. Okay? So all you single people out there, if there's anything you hear this morning, it's this. Say, I will marry a believer. Okay? Now, the next thing that we see is that the first thing is the first O in the oops is order. This was God's order. Okay? That man should marry a woman. Woman should marry a man. They need to both be believers who have a relationship with God. So that's the origin. The second one is order. How exactly is this happy marriage worked out? Okay? Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh. Okay? So the order in marriage is after God brings the person to you, either a man or a woman, to a vice versa, is that there is a leaving that needs to happen. Now, this is very important, especially in our culture. Hear it. Okay? Andrew and Lassia are getting married next week. By the grace of God, He has blessed us with a big flat. We've got 3 bedrooms. Okay? We love both of them. There's no misunderstanding or anything. They could very well live with us. We'd save a lot of money as well. Okay? But, we want to follow what the Bible says. It says, a man will leave his father and mother. So Andrew next week is going to leave us. There's going to be pain on both sides. But as we obey God's word, there is going to be great blessing. And they're leaving to form their own family unit, their own home, where Andrew will be the head of that home. All right? And that's what they're doing there. Now, we've got to understand that this is not a choice or a suggestion, but this is exactly what God ordained. Where did Jesus do his first miracle? The wedding in Cana. Okay, we'll come to that a bit. Okay, so this is the order. The order is husband, man and woman, they leave, they form a new unit. Okay, if you don't agree with me, I'll tell you, you talk to people. Some are even in our congregation who've lived with their in-laws. And they will tell you how they experienced hell on earth. I'm not asking you to say amen because I know some of them will say amen loudly. Okay? But that is the truth. Okay? There's God's divine way of working things out. Okay. So there is a leaving that needs to happen. Now, the leaving doesn't mean that we don't love Andrew and Lassia or they don't love us, but they're just obeying God's word. Third thing is oneness. So oops, the third O, oops, is oneness. Okay? So when, now I spoke about the wedding at Cana. Do you know how many miracles took place at Cana? At the wedding. One. Jesus did his first miracle at Cana. What did he do? He turned water into wine. That was supernatural. But there was another supernatural thing that happened. Do you know what happened? The couple that married, the two became one. That is a supernatural thing that happened. Think about it. Okay? It says here, Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 4, verse 6, says what God, so it's, he says, what God has joined together, Matthew, let's read it together. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, all right? And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. Now, remember, look at this. Jesus is quoting Genesis. Okay, so throughout the history of the Bible, things have not changed there. Male, female, leaving father and mother, cleaving, becoming one flesh. So the miracle that happens at every marriage is this. Two people who are so different in their looks, in their tastes, in skills and talents and giftings, Jesus is saying that in marriage, they become one entity, one unit. Okay? So there's a supernatural oneness that happens there. Now, how does this oneness work out? What it means now is that there is a priority in this relationship. Okay, so in any marriage relationship, you know, Austin and Joe got married, Andrew and Lassia and every other couple. What we're saying is that this relationship between husband and wife now takes priority over every other relationship. Yeah? So a husband, you may have been very close to your mother. You have been mommy's pet. And you listened to your mother. You did everything. But now, when you get married, what changes? You still love your mother. That hasn't changed. But you have another woman in your life who is your wife. And she takes priority over your mother. Why am I stating this? Because, you know, like I said, we've been pastoring for many years. We've seen marriages break over these things. I'll give you an example. This couple got married. The husband disregarded this thing about leaving. He said, no, we'll stay together. They stayed together with the mother and father and all that. And this is what would happen. They would both come from work, you know, they're living in the same house with the parents, and the mother would come to the son and say, hey, spend time with me. And he would spend time with her and not with his wife. Isn't it absurd? Yeah? And that marriage collapsed. Okay? So I want to encourage you to say that, listen, your wife is your priority. Husbands, your wife is your priority. Wives, your husband is your priority. Okay? And this takes precedence over parents, over every other relationship. Second thing is joint ownership. What does this oneness mean? The oneness means it's joint ownership over everything. It's not my money and your money. Okay? It's our money. And so that's very important to know. So even if the wife is not working, okay, sometimes wives feel, I'm not working, you know. Hey, she's doing an incredible job looking after the house, bringing up the children, all that. And so, really, it's not the husband's money just because he's working. It's still our money. Okay, so we've got to change that mindset of my money and your money. It's our money. So there's joint ownership over everything. Husbands, if you have a wife who's not working, okay, you've got to make sure that you are, in the sense, empowering her financially so that she doesn't feel just because I'm not earning means I'm nobody. No. It's our money. Okay. Then we've got not just joint ownership, but joint decision making. Okay? And this is where you're taking decisions in the house. It's not the husband who says, I'll do it. I'll do everything. I'll take the decision. But there is wisdom in listening to your wife. Husband, say amen. Amen? Hey, listen, please. I tell you. See, it's like this. God has brought two people together. Okay? He's given, we'll come to the roles. Okay? He's placed the husband as the head. But that doesn't mean he's the smart guy. You can have a wife who knows much more than the husband. All right? Listen, there are so many areas I'm clueless about. You know, Nawaz will ask me, what do you think about these colored curtains? I don't think about curtains. You know, or sofas. There are so many areas I'm totally clueless about, and I leave it completely to her. Okay? So what we mean by joint decision making is, you know, if the wife is more qualified at managing the finance, let her handle that. Okay? If you're going to buy something or make a decision, discuss it between the two of you. Speak it out, seek the Lord, and then decide. All right? So that's where it is. Okay, so that's the meaning of oneness. We're just quickly going through these things. So we've covered O. Okay, that's origin, order, oneness. And then we go to the oops, which is permanence. Now, today's generation, I'm told, finds it very difficult to commit to anything. Have you noticed that? Isn't that true? Yeah? You can't get commitment because they want to have all the different options open. You know, somebody says, shall we meet this evening? I'll let you know. You know, and even with jobs, my parents' generation, I don't know if your parents, your grandparents' generation, okay, stuck in a job for how many years? 30, 35, 40, I don't know. They just stuck in that one job. Today's generation says we can stay in a job for 2 years, then we've got to move. Okay, now, whatever the practicalities are, that's okay. But the point is that today, permanence is lacking. Where we have the ability to change things very quickly. In our days, when we got married, it took 8 years to get a phone. Yeah, you had those big phones. I don't know if any of you have seen them. They were these big, heavy things. Okay, if they didn't work, you could use them for exercise. But they were like heavy. You lift the receiver and you're... Okay, today people change phones every year, every 6 months, you know. So there's no permanence with anything. Now, one of the things that has permanence is marriage. And so God has made marriage and said, listen, this is not like a job. You can take a job. You don't like the job. You don't like the boss. You can leave it, get another job. Okay? You order things online. How many order things online? Yeah? That's another form of window shopping. You know? Okay? So it's very costly, though. It's not like the old window shopping where you just did this thing. But so you order things online, and you don't like it. What do? Return it. Okay? Now, those contemplating marriage, you can't do that after marriage. Okay? You can't call up Amazon and say, please take this back. I'm not happy with it. It's the wrong color, wrong size. You know, you can't do that. Okay? So marriage is meant for permanence. Okay? And where does it say there? It speaks there about, so they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And this word, being united, okay, and be united to his wife, is not like anybody participated in a three-legged race? Yeah, you know, three-legged race, you have two people, usually they're different sizes, and they tie a handkerchief together, and they say, ready, steady, and somebody falls, and they run, and they do this thing. You know, marriage is not like that. Okay? Because at the end of the race, what is the first thing you want to do? Untie yourselves. That's it. You know, it's just 20 seconds, the race is over, and then you want to quickly. Nobody wants to go around the rest of the day like that. You know, you want to untie yourself. Now, marriage is not like a three-legged race. Okay? Marriage is more like super glue. Have you ever, anybody used super glue? Yeah. Super glue sticks something permanently. Okay? And that's what marriage is. It's called permanence. So, and it's stuck in such a way that if you were trying to pull it apart, both these things will get damaged. And that's how it is with marriage. Okay? So the point I'm making here is, it is permanent. Okay, so now we've looked at the origin of marriage, the order, the oneness. Marriage is permanent. And it's Jesus who says this. You know, in fact, when Jesus said this, that listen, you are not permitted to divorce your wife. Now, the Jews used had this thing where they could divorce their wife for any and every reason. All right? But Jesus said, listen, you cannot divorce your wife for any and every reason except for adultery, marital unfaithfulness. That's the only grounds for divorce. You know what the disciples came to him and said? This is such a hard teaching. Who can get married if he can't divorce for any reason? That's in the Bible, really. Okay? And that's what Jesus said. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, the point you got to keep in mind here is, if it is going to be permanent, then you've got to think not once, not 10 times, but 100 times before you get married. Okay? Because before you get married, you've got to think 100 times and say, is this the person for me? Today we don't have time to get into what kind of person to marry. That'll come another time. But just those of you who are single and are thinking of getting married, okay, remember it's permanent. You cannot return it. Okay? And you've got to say, think 100 times. Is this the right person? And it's, I would say, seek advice. Come to your spiritual leaders, talk to your parents, and ask, is this the right person to marry? Okay, let's go on. Now we come to the P. What is the P? The P is the procedure or protocol in marriage. Okay? How do we outwork this marriage? What are the rules? You see, every game has rules. Anybody played football? Anybody played handball? You can't mix those rules. Different rules for football, different rules for handball. Okay? And if you try to catch the ball in football, the referee will blow the whistle. It's a handball or a penalty or whatever. Okay. So what is the protocol? What is the rules for marriage? We're going to look at a few. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 31. Ephesians 5, 25 to 31. And, you know, we're going to start with husbands first. Because if I start with the wives thing and we end the message and I don't get to the husbands, but that'll be bad. All these wives will come at me. So we're going to start with the husbands, all right? So it says there, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Okay, so husbands, I'm speaking to you this morning. Wives, you can listen as well. But we have a responsibility, and that is a higher responsibility of loving our wives. Okay, what does that love mean? It means, it says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Okay, how did Christ love the church? Anybody? He laid his life down for the church. He washed their feet. You know, now that's a high calling. Now I'm going to ask you, husbands, how many of you would be willing to die for your wife? I can see some wives nudging their husbands. No. I hope all of you would say, I'm willing to die for my wife. All right? Yes? Wouldn't you be? Come on, guys. See that? Yes. Andrew's hand is up there. Okay. Listen, that's the sacrifice that Jesus is asking for. Okay? He's saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church by giving his life for her. Okay, now that's true. It's wonderful to see some hands up, you know, but I'm sure in your heart all your hands are up. But the chances of you dying for your wife are a remote possibility. Okay? There's no immediate need for that. But what does it mean today? What is more difficult, not dying for your wife, what's more difficult is to make lesser sacrifices for her today. Okay? Like what? So it means putting aside your own likes, your own desires, your own preferences and welfare to please your wife and meet her needs. When you do that, you are truly dying for her. What does that mean? That means, for example, you make her a cup of tea or a coffee. Okay? You take care of the kids. You serve her by doing other things, maybe cooking one day or 2 days or more, you know. But really what it's looking at is you are serving your wife where she needs. It means you staying at home and letting her go out with her friends. Okay? So that's what it, number one is sacrificial love. Okay, laying down our lives. Ladies, if you're looking for a husband, look for somebody who will show that kind of love to you. All right? That's one of the things to look for. Secondly, is a purifying love. It says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the word, and to present her to himself blameless. Now, really, what we're looking at here is that, ladies, you want a husband who's going to help you grow spiritually. Okay? Think of it. You want, have you seen those balloons that you tie, you know, in movies they have, you tie to people and takes you up in the air balloons, yeah? You want a husband who's going to take you up to greater heights, not a millstone around your neck that will sink you to lower depths. This is very important. So although you can marry any Christian man, ladies, you know, who's unmarried, you want to make sure you take a guy not who's going to take you up and not let you sink and drown. That's a very important distinction. So really, because that is the role of the husband. His job is to help you and him become more and more like Jesus. Okay? Now, if you have a husband who has no spiritual interest, why are you interested in him? Simple. Okay. Third thing. Verse 28. You know who we love the most? Ourselves. We love our own bodies. I mean, I love my wife, but I think about my hunger more than her hunger. Isn't that true? Everybody, yeah? We think about our, you know, it's like this. We think about ourselves, and that's how we are, okay? But what it says is, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, okay? So, ladies, you're looking for a husband who's going to care for you, who's going to provide for you, who's going to protect you, all right? That's the kind of husband you've got to look out for. Don't look out for a husband who says, take care of me. And sadly, in our nation, that's how it is, no? Okay, but you're saying it's the husband's role to provide. It's not your role to put food on the table. Okay, it's the husband's role to do all these things. So, woman, look for a husband who can lead you and who can feed you. Okay, there are all these ads sometimes that says a real man, you know, is one who can have 10 drinks and stand tall. Yeah, some of them, oh, he's got muscles and a mustache and a big bike. That's not a real man. Okay? A real man is not one who can hold down his drink, but who can hold down his job. Isn't that true? Yeah, that's what it is. That's the truth. He's got to care for you. He's got to provide for you. All right. And the fourth thing is, in this thing of protocol for husbands is this. It's an unbreakable love. You want a husband who is committed to you for life. All right? So he can't have a string of other girls he knew. And he, you know, but he's saying, no, you're the one for me now. So be very careful. You know, because you may have guys who are very charismatic or, you know, attractive and this thing. And that's what has attracted you to them. Wonderful. But 10 other girls are also attracted to that. Okay? So keep that in mind. Okay. Now to the ladies. What's your role in the procedure, the protocol? Verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." All right? So ladies, your role is to submit. Now, that word submit has become a bad word. Okay? Many people, especially in the West, you know, I'll tell you, some, we won't tell you. Okay. So, okay. Submit has become a bad, you know, and people say, hey, what is that? Now, first of all, let's bring some clarity. Okay? Don't we all submit to somebody? Yeah? If you're working in a company, you have a boss. You submit. We submit to the government. The government says, file your taxes, get your Aadhaar card, get your PAN card. We submit. Okay? In a building society, there are rules. You submit. So we are submitting all the time to somebody or the other. And now, you know, what God is saying here, what is this picture? You see, in any organism, if you have two heads, you have a monster. Yeah, that's right. So that's true. Imagine a baby born with two heads. You know, no. So what God is saying is we are the body of Christ. Okay, that's fine. And now he's talking about husbands and wives. He says we are one. We are not two. We are one. There's got to be one head. So let's break this down. I'm going to spend a little bit on this. So what it means is this. First of all, it means that both are equal. Now, everybody say this word, equal. Equal. Husband and wife are equal. Submission does not imply inequality. It means different roles. Okay? So we are all equal. So this verse is not an excuse for husbands to say, listen, you just do what I say. No, that's not a loving husband. Okay? That's totally ungodly. Okay? It means both are equal. Okay? What else does it mean? Okay, so it means that in the decision making, all right, both must have the opportunity to speak, to discuss, to do everything. But at the end, when the decision has to be taken, okay, the husband says, okay, I think, you know, we've listened, we've spoken over anything. Somebody has to take the decision. Okay, we leave it to the husband to take that decision, but not on his own, not unless everything is spoken and all that. Okay? So that's important. But it's like a chairman of the board. You know, the chairman of the board is there. You've got the whole board. Somebody for finance, for marketing, for sales, for production. Okay? Everybody listens to all these experts speak. And only after that, the decision can be taken. And the chairman will cast the casting vote. Okay? So wives,
you should be free to speak, to express your opinion, to disagree and everything, and then leave it with your husband. All right? That's how it works. Now, if your husband tells you to do something illegal, as if your boss tells you, are you supposed to submit to that? No, you're not supposed to do that. Or something wrong, or something hurtful. No, you're not supposed to do that. Is that clear, everybody? Okay. Not just submit. In verse 33, it says, however, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Ladies, this is the number one thing that your husband, one of the key things your husband is looking for, and that is respect. Okay? How that is outworked, you figure it out. But really, the Bible says, wives, give your husbands respect. Husbands, give your wives love. Okay. So we've come to O-O-O-P-P and the S. We've come to the S now. What is the S? And the S is sacred. Okay. Before we come to the S, it says, woman, look, men, look for a woman who will respect you and follow you. All right? Okay. S, sacred. Look at verse 32. You see, Paul is talking about husbands and wives, and then he's mixing up the church and Christ, and he says, what's happening here? Is he talking about marriage, or is he talking about the church? And the answer is, yes, he's talking about both. Okay? So he says, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And really, the point it's making is that marriage is something sacred. Now, there are many unities that happen in our country, in the nation. You can have a partnership between two people. You can have a private limited company. You can have, you know, an association in a society. They're all different entities that come. But none of them is sacred. Okay? Marriage is sacred. Now, why is it sacred? Because a married couple is a picture of Christ and His church. So whenever we see a married couple, and we see a marriage working out well, with the husband leading in a godly way and loving his wife in a servant-hearted way, the wife respecting her husband and submitting to him, and there is unity, there is oneness, there's love, there's permanence, it brings glory to God. And it points out to people about Christ and the church. I don't know about you, but at every marriage I cry. Okay? Because there is something sacred and supernatural about a marriage. Okay? I don't cry when a company is formed or when a partnership is formed. No, but at a marriage, it's a sacred, sacred thing. Okay? And so I want to leave us with this oops this morning. Okay? Just a brief overview. There's much more to be covered. Okay, we don't have time for that. But for us, so if you're considering and contemplating marriage, wives, look for a man you can respect. Look for a man you know will lead you, will provide for you, and look for a man who will take you on to Christian maturity and not sink you down. All right? Is he spiritually connected? Is he spiritually growing? Women, that's what you're looking for. Men, you're looking for a woman. What are you looking for? There are many, we don't have time to get into that, but really, somebody who will respect you and will accept your leadership. Okay? Marriage is a permanent thing. So this decision is one of the most important decisions in our lives, not to be taken lightly. Okay? And people from Word of Grace, if you're considering marriage, you're thinking about somebody, please come and see Nawaz, myself. We'd be happy to chat with you through those things because those decisions are final. Let's pray this morning. We're going to pray for God's blessing on every marriage in the church. And we're going to pray for those who are not yet married. God will get them godly partners. Lord, we just thank you for every marriage represented here at Word of Grace. Lord, I pray that your blessing, your favor, and your grace would be upon these marriages, Lord. That husbands would love and lead their wives. Wives would submit and respect their husbands. And that we would be a great representation of Christ and the church. Lord, I thank you for singles here this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help them to find the right partner. Lord, you brought Eve to Adam. You created Eve, Lord, and brought her to Adam. I pray that the same thing would happen here, Lord, that you would match up godly partnerships in this church. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We ask for your blessing upon us, and we pray that you would help us to be godly men and women, husbands and wives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.